What a great, great win for the Vols tonight.
Now you a small frame. Get ready to get played. Guitar strings, piano keys, big bass bump. Getting ready to set sail while they suck.
I like my man Swiper Boys talking about it here. Tennessee with a huge victory tonight in Nashville. They were down 10 at the half. For the second straight game, the Vols, literally a tale of two halves. They came out like a house of fire. Like a house of fire in the second half. We welcome you to your Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime with you till around midnight tonight. Tony Basilio and you and yours as we welcome you to another edition on an evening where the Vols prove once again how resilient they are. Absolutely prove how resilient they are while Vanderbilt shows you why they were a 6-9 team coming in to tonight's game. The bottom line is, though, you still have to win what's in front of you. You absolutely still have to win what's in front of you. And Tennessee did exactly that, and Williams was an absolute man tonight. And I mean a man and a man-child, and that was an incredible, incredible effort for the Tennessee basketball team. Make no mistake about it. As they get a victory tonight, we'll celebrate with you at 865-200-5402. Williams tonight with 37 points in tonight's game. 37 points. Addie Schofield added 22. Bowden had 12 in the game. He had none at the half. And Bowden's run in the first half was a catalyst. He had 8 points in the first 220. Cut Tennessee's lead from 10 down to 5. And they went crazy after that. Crazy. Crazy. And the Tubbs brought the victory home. And that was a high-level basketball game. Vandy played really well, and Tennessee played really well in that game. Not a lot of defense in it. Not a lot of defense. But Tennessee defended when they had to. And I'm going to tell you something. Our front line, though undersized, against opponents like this, against a finesse team, they'll beat the hell out of them every time. And Marky Boy Griffin, who joins now from down in beautiful Nashville, the scene of tonight's crime. Marky Boy Griffin, what a great win for our basketball Vols.
Definitely so, Tony. What a great win. A lot of Tennessee fans at the game tonight. I was in attendance as well. And real pleased to see the Vol faithful show up in orange and white. Incredible victory against the Vanderbilt team that we talked about today that puts up tons of threes, been averaging over 26 threes a game and making 8.5. We'll go through the stats, I know, later, Tony.
Yep.
But it's a tale of two halves. We've talked about this earlier in the season. It's important how you come out the first 4 minutes of the second half, and it was a different team. Never give up attitude, and just a confidence builder going into Saturday's game against Texas A&M. But it's a great win in Nashville.
We're going to absolutely need it, too. We're going to need that confidence boost for the basketball team, because I'm going to tell you something. That A&M team will come in here very angry because they got robbed tonight. I mean, I'm just going to tell you what it was tonight up in Lexington, and they're going to have their backs totally to the wall, kind of where Tennessee was last weekend in a lot of ways. And Tennessee tonight, though, they brought it. I mean, you just got to say what Tennessee did tonight is they were down 10 at the half mark. Nothing was going well. The three that goes for Vandy at the end of the half, Williams kept Tennessee around. Bowden, Mark, cannot continue to disappear like this in basketball games.
No, and it didn't seem like they were looking to get him a shot, or he didn't look to create his shot in the first half like
right.
he was able to do in the second half. And thank goodness he was able to do so, because he was a catalyst, I think. I mean, we can't yep. say enough for Grant Williams in the second half and the entire game, actually. But you look at what Jordan Bowden did the first 4 minutes. I think he had like 8 quick points or so in the first 5 minutes.
Yep.
But you know, he's got to look to create his shot a little bit more than he does, where he gets lost in the offense. And moving forward, it shows how vital that the role that Jordan Bowden plays. You know, we talked earlier in the season, Tony, that two things are steady for UT to be able to be in a game, and that's going to be Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield have to play good basketball, and for Tennessee to win, especially on the road, going to have to get, you know, contributions from Jordan Bowden, and we're able to do so.
865-200-5402. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. All lines are currently jammed as the Volunteers tonight blow Vanderbilt out in their building and make them like it, 92-84, on a night where Kentucky is lucky. They are lucky, lucky, lucky that they're not buried further behind Tennessee in the SEC standings. They're lucky tonight, and I mean lucky, as we go to the phones. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Garza Law, Tennessee, basketball overtime. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, it's Zach. What's going
on? Hey, Zach. How tonight's blowout win feel to you?
Oh, man. I'm with you. First off, I'm with you on the and I'm not going to dwell on this, but I'm with you on the Cats. They definitely got one given to them.
Ah, that's bullshit. Where I come from, we call that – I mean, you're going to tell me a guy's arm is grabbed? Grabbed. Yeah. As – and I'll give credit to Jay Billis, who's doing the game for ESPN. He said in the NFL they call that. In last night's national championship game they call that. But the Zebras up there in Lexington were not going to call that. And that is something that we all know. And Mark knows that as a player that's played many games in Corrupt Arena. You're not getting that call in Corrupt Arena. You're just not.
No, you're not.
You're never getting that call there.
But also, another thing about that game is I'm interested to see that matchup between Grant Williams and Tyler Davis. I think Tyler plays a 5, whereas Grant plays a 4, obviously. But I think there might be some matchups there Saturday.
Yes.
That's going to be interesting to watch. But back to tonight's game.
Yes.
I love beating Vanderbilt in Memorial Coliseum. I love it.
Like, it's 2 years in a row. It's so beautiful.
When I heard that chant, I was like, go Vols. But, man, you know, we've talked about it numerous times. I honestly think in halftime, I think he chewed Bowden and said, listen, so you're gonna have to man up and start playing some basketball. Because, man, he's fell off the face of the earth the last couple games. I mean, it's like he's just out there twiddling his thumbs. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I completely know what you're saying. In the first half, you know how many shots he attempted in the first half tonight?
Two, maybe?
One.
One.
And
wow.
It came in the last 90 seconds of the first half. He played 16 minutes in the first half, and he attempted one shot. And let me just tell you this, and I know he's not a guy that's going to create his own shot, as Mark says about him, but there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse to be that inactive in a basketball game, and we get away with it tonight. We're not getting away with that night in and night out if he does that in league play, Mark, because Williams is not going to do this. He's just not. I mean, that was a crazy, crazy effort tonight by Williams, whose final line, guys, is 12 of 20 from the field, 37 points, 13 of 15 from the line, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. The guy had 37 minutes and 37 points in 33 minutes. It's one of the great efforts you'll ever see.
Definitely. And you know, I've been watching Tennessee basketball. I'm 27. You know, I remember the days of Ron. Obviously, you guys remember more, but I remember the days of Ron Slay and all them boys. And, you know, for me, you know, just to watch Grant progress from what he's come, like tonight I was just sitting back and, you know, just like, he's taking these boys to school. And he was getting moves.
Yep.
Like, I was like, good Lord. And then Admiral comes in and you know, we just played big tonight, and well, they played big tonight. I act like I'm on a team or something, but I was just pumped, man. And I'm excited to go to that Texas A&M game and watch them in Knoxville.
Hey, I appreciate your call, man. Thank you, Zach. We look forward to you being here on Saturday. Huge game.
Hey, Tony.
Yes,
one thing,
Griff.
I noticed this evening as well that I hadn't seen as much earlier in the season was Grant Williams was very vocal to the refs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could see it on TV or not, but throughout the entire game, he was like a Rick Barnes on the court, mm-hmm. always talking to the refs. Not complaining. It didn't seem like he was complaining. He would just make a point to the refs. At least five times I counted this evening, he walked over to a ref during either a call or close to a free throw situation or even a timeout situation and made comments to the ref. So I thought that was very interesting, and even Coach Barnes allowed him to do that. But yet he took that leadership tonight. And displayed it by, you know, conversing with the refs. I don't know what he said, obviously, but he was working the refs throughout the night.
Do referees like that, Mark?
I don't think they do. I think that if they look, they don't want to look like they're being shown up. And this is not just TV Teddy, but any ref. I don't feel that they're comfortable with players coming over to them and making comments throughout a game. So I was surprised that it actually happened as long as it did, but it did continue throughout the entire game.
Grant Williams, somebody just said on Periscope on their right, has a throwback game that he plays with. And if you're leaving that arena tonight, welcome in. Garza Law, Tennessee basketball overtime, because Vandy got absolutely beaten down in the second half. It's the second time in a row. Tennessee has taken an SEC opponent and just poured it on them in the second half. And it's the second time in a row that Rick Barnes comes out of his 20-minute timeout with some terrific adjustments. His kids respond, and the first thing they did was get Bowden more involved. That's the first thing they did. Mark, they ran two plays for him at the beginning of the second half, and that is some smart basketball. And if you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402 is our number. Another thing that we noticed on television is that the Tubbs were in several shots. And I want to say, if you know the Tubbs, congratulate them. Mr. Tubbs Saturday was in rare form as he had a trombone in his hand down around midcourt. Griff, I need to send you that picture. It's absolutely outstanding. We'll go to the phones. And if you are a mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging member of Big Blue Nation tonight and you want to claim that victory, you go ahead and claim it. Your kids peed their pants. Peed all over themselves, maybe defecated on the court before that thing was over, and got out of there with a win. Why? Because it was 8-on-5, and three of them were wearing striped shirts, and you know it, and I know it. Now let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Hello to our next caller.
Hey, Tony, it's Smitty. How you doing, man?
Hey, Smitty, welcome in, brother. A victorious night.
Hey, how many times are we going to get Jamie Lucky this year as an official?
Jamie, not so lucky, Griff. Jamie, not so lucky.
Yeah, I don't know how they even do that as far as referees, as far as how many games they get, as far as SEC. And it'd be a good question to get your boy Bronny Boy to look up, to maybe, you know, get some director of the referees to come on board and see how they divvy up the refs per SEC game, because you're right. It seems like we get this guy every game, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, he did the Nova game, the NC State game, the Georgia Tech game. I mean, I can go on and on, but
oh, wow.
What a win. I mean, you know, just awesome winning in Memorial Gymnasium.
Yep.
I mean, and hearing the fans in there over the Vandy fans, that was absolutely incredible. I'm sure, you know, Mark, you probably enjoyed that as much as anybody. I wish I could have been in there. That's awesome. I mean, just a huge win. Grant Williams, you know, looked like a man amongst boys out there, and so did Admiral. I mean, I think Admiral had, I mean, I know Grant played well. That bad piece, he's terrible.
And they abused that poor guy. I can't imagine what Baptista's plus minus. Well, I'm gonna look it up here. I can't imagine what Baptista's plus minus looked like tonight, because they literally Baptisted him. His plus minus tonight, guys, was minus 16. Brutal night for that clown. And LaChance had a minus 18 on the night. Congratulations to him. But you're right about Addie Schofield, who in my mind is Tennessee's most valuable player to this point in the season. He is, in my mind, he's the most valuable player. He does everything, and he does a ton of little things. And you know what? For Grant Williams, Mark, for the night he had, this is why plus minus is interesting. These are points for, points against, while you're on the floor. In his 33 minutes tonight, Griff, Williams' plus minus number is plus 21. Admiral Schofield, while he only scored 22, his plus minus on the night in 31 minutes is 20, just 1 point away from Williams. So Addie Schofield does a lot of little things. And the thing I thought that he did tonight really well, Smitty and Griff, was play within himself.
Oh, no question. I mean, I think that, I think you're right. He's been kind of the MVP of the year, kind of a surprise player. But, you know, not to take anything away from Grant Williams, but, you know, if we don't have him in the first half, you know, Grant Williams can still put up 18 points. And we could be down by, 15,
yep.
17, 18 points.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, you got to give it to him. That was an incredible, performance. Some of those and ones that he made driving to the basket. You know, he's avoided that turnaround fadeaway, which was just not his game.
Nope.
But, you know.
He's turned into a hell of a player. I'll tell you that right now. Inside, yeah, outside, Griff. Griff, did you see this coming from Admiral Schofield this year, the next step he's taken?
It's obvious he's put a lot of shots in practice, because he's actually really shoots the ball at its apex as far as his height.
Yep.
Really gets up high. He's got a lot of confidence. And like the caller said, you're not seeing as much as the fadeaway shot, which, makes me want to pull my hair out.
Yes.
So he's a little bit more under control. And I don't mind the emotion. You know, people have commented in the past he's a very emotional player, but I think that's contagious if it's good emotion. And he's been able to display that, and just seems really focused right now. And like y'all were saying, I mean, if Grant Williams could have had 50 tonight, but if he didn't have the support that he did, Tennessee loses that game.
Yeah, and their front line, Tennessee's front line, pounded. And I mean pounded those guys in a night where Tennessee's backcourt really didn't score. I'll take you back to last year where Bone just went crazy down there in that gym, and a quiet night for him tonight. Mm-hmm. A quiet night. And Barnes yanked him once and got in his face about his defending tonight. Barnes was in Bowden's face tonight now. Not Bowden. I'm talking Bone. Yeah, thank you.
Well, he got backdoored. And he got backdoored twice, too, on defense.
Yes, he did.
On different occasions that were pretty critical. So you're right. I mean, that's one thing about Coach Barnes. He's going to pull you if you lack it in defense. They'll be early, and then you'll sit on the bench. And you won't enjoy it, and that's what happened, unfortunately, with Bone. But I don't think that his overall shooting was bad. I don't think his overall turnovers were bad. I know you'll go through that, but you got to be able to play defense for Coach Barnes to be on that court.
Mm. Well, Smitty, anything else for us tonight?
Yeah, I think it's I know the Purdue win was a big win, and we've had some big wins on the season. But honestly, a midweek road game in conference at Vandy, where they shoot over 50%, I think that this is the best win of the season. I hope Don is enjoying his warm milk tonight. See you.
You keep on stacking the wins. 865, a shout out to Don, who's probably listening to us tonight. 865-200-5402. Let's go through some of the numbers here as we're quick to the phone lines. Tennessee ends up shooting 57% on the game to Vanderbilt's 52%. So Smitty's right. Your opponent shoots 52%, and you still get out of there with a win. Your opponent in Vanderbilt tonight, Mark, makes 11 three balls. They're 11 of 26 from three-point land, 42% on the night. Tennessee finishes the night 7 of 13 from three-point land, 54%. The Vols go to the foul line 28 times on the road and make 25 foul shots. 25 of 28. You want to talk about winning basketball? That's winning basketball. I'll give you another winning basketball number. Tennessee tonight on the road, 8 turnovers to go with 13 assists. That's winning basketball. Tennessee's bench outscored Vanderbilt 40-32. That's winning basketball on the road. Tennessee had 9 fast break points to Vanderbilt's 2 fast break points. Tennessee had 4 blocks to their 2 blocks. And Tennessee even overcame Vanderbilt's outscoring them off the bench 26-13 as the Vols had 13 second chance points to Vanderbilt's 9. So Tennessee on the night rolls 92-84. How about that?
And we knew, Tony, going in that Vanderbilt was going to live and die by the three. They've been averaging 26 three-pointers a game.
Yep.
And hitting on 8. So that was not surprising. But what you don't see, and we talked about this as well, is Vanderbilt doesn't have the inside presence. And you're right, Baptiste got baptized tonight by Grant, and they don't have the inside players right now.
Nope.
And they don't have it, you know, they're not going to have it for the rest of the season. So they're going to live and die continuously by the three. And they shot really well, you know, in the first half, especially against Tennessee. But Tennessee really stepped up their defense the second half. I know it was a high-scoring game, and Vandy was the lowest-scoring team in the SEC, but I was really proud to see Tennessee really step up their defense in the second half. When they had to on the defensive end, so that was really nice to see. And that's very difficult on the road and really difficult in Memorial.
By the way, Nick Saban Lee tonight. What'd you think of their freshman? He's a pretty good player, Mark. He had 21.
Really good.
Wears double zero. Player. He's a nice player. That's a nice piece for them. 865-200, and they've got some. What we would call some reinforcements next year with two 5-star players on the way. So let's get them while we can get them against them. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller. Is Tennessee victorious tonight on your Garza Law Tennessee basketball overtime? The Vols win 92-84. Marky Boy Griffin is with me celebrating with you as he was live tonight in Nashville. We're live in the Ray Mears studio. Coach Mears is smiling down. Anytime you go into that gym and get a victory, Coach Mears is smiling on us tonight on your basketball volunteers and my basketball volunteers, on our basketball volunteers. And if you're a Kentucky fan, I just want to say to you one more time, if you're satisfied with that, if you want to take that win and you want to claim that win, more power to you. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hey, brother.
Hello.
Big win tonight, Tony. Mark, how you doing?
Huge win
tonight. Huge. Tony, if I'm doing my math right, I think Grant Williams shot 60% from the floor.
12 of 20.
And then Admiral wasn't far off of that.
9 of 14.
Yeah. Yeah, those two. I guess just that Baptiste guy, he had – why was he still in with 4 fouls if he was their only – was the – alternative that bad?
Nothing there. Yes, there's nothing behind him.
Cleavon Brown is their backup center. He's a sophomore and gets very limited minutes. And other than that, they don't have anybody that gets any significant time at all on the inside.
Well, with that being said, if you know you have, I mean, one guy inside that's not, can't really handle Grant, I don't mind about it. I mean, you know what I mean? If you can just force it into Grant inside, they're either going to foul him or he's going to score. Why not just do that? I mean, Bowden doesn't need to be shooting threes at that point. And in the second half, he was the one that sparked the run. Bowden was. He had that nice little, what's that little curl play they run, Mark, where he comes around the foul line, looks like off a little screen or something like that, and just shoots right as soon as he catches it.
Well, no, you're correct. That's part of their offense that they've been running the whole season. As you watch closely throughout the season, They continually to run that particular play where that is a curl play coming off the free throw line area and able to get, you know, it opens up shots because you can't guard all 5 players when 3 players are moving, you can't guard all 3 of them at the same time. So it forces you to help. And if you don't help at the appropriate location, It's going to free up a shot at the perimeter, which Bowden was able to knock down. So one thing I was surprised, guys, was why didn't Vanderbilt go to a zone more often?
Yep.
I don't know why they don't try to mix it up. Now, I know they went one possession and they went right back to man, but I was a little surprised with the foul trouble with the big guy, Baptiste, as well, that they didn't go more to a zone and try to force perimeter shooting because of the way Grant Williams was killing him on the inside. I don't know why he just didn't go to his zone.
Hey, Mark, and there's another thing. When they shuffled their defenses late with about 2.5 minutes left, they kind of got Tennessee confused. They made it really easy on the Vols. It's kind of the second time in a row that the opponent's coaching staff, for whatever reason, just made it easy for Tennessee to take the game from them. Which, by the way, if you want to get that profusely outcoached two games in a row, both Kentucky and Vanderbilt, more power to you. I hope the same thing happens Wednesday afternoon here, or Wednesday evening.
Tony and Mark, let me ask you guys this. It almost seems like every time I think we got a little something here with this team. They're probably a pest to play against, especially defensively.
Yeah, guard play for me to say you have something, you mean like for March? The guard play for Tennessee has to get a hell of a lot better before I say that. Because let me tell you what happens to those forwards in March. You play teams that take Williams and neutralize him. Now, he's fun in a game like this. He's great in a game like this. You play those teams in March with men down low, and it's back to that North Carolina game again. It just is. I mean, I hate to say that, but our guard play has to get better if we're going to be a team to watch in March.
Do you guys think Bowden's the key to it then? I mean, he's the one that can consistently knock down shots from the outside. Do you think he's the key to it?
I think he's the trump card to see how far Tennessee goes. I think they can have a good season without his consistent play. But I think he's the trump card to see that Tennessee goes farther than they've been in years. Yes.
Yep. And our two transfers, both the junior college transfer and the Daniel kid, they do crazy things at times. And we need one of those guys to become more consistent. And those guys make insane fouls. They do crazy things. And I guess they're just not used to playing at this level. Or in the Daniel's kid's case, he's just used to freewheeling and going crazy, obviously. I mean, he's a nice player, but he needs to kind of – Mark, am I wrong to say that he needs to settle down a little bit?
Well, he made one bonehead foul at the half-court line when he's trying to steal the ball from LaChance, which I admire his aggressiveness, but, you know, you've got to be smart as well, and that wasn't a good play. And I was surprised that Darrington got as much playing time in the first half as he did, because I don't think against Kentucky he played, if he played at all.
No.
If he did, he only played –
He didn't play at all.
Apparently. Okay, so for him to come in, he must have had a really good practice or a couple practices to get the time that he got in the first half, but I don't think he got off the bench in the second half.
Daniel picked up two of his five. I mean, he fouled out of the game, which
– How? How do you foul out in 24 minutes? Yeah, it's a crazy – You never see guards foul out of games.
He picked up two fouls at least half a mile from the basket. Two of them, for sure.
And you can't.
I can remember.
And that's my point. I mean, you just, you know.
Stupid.
Yeah.
No, you need to be fouling that side of the ball. I mean, no need. None at all. Boys, y'all have a good show. I got out the way.
Thank you. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. Griff, when I went through those numbers in a team-by-team comparison, what's the number to you that jumps out at you?
Tennessee's field goal shooting. And obviously, well, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, free throw shooting, to shoot 25 of 28 from the free throw line is amazing. And I told you today, this is the best shooting gymnasium in the conference. And I mean, Tennessee displayed it tonight. Maybe they haven't displayed it in the past like they did this evening, but it's just a comfortable gym. Love the floor. You just spring off the floor and the goals are soft, and I was just really, really happy with how UT was able to knock down shots, especially in the second half.
Yeah, Williams tonight was absolutely insane. I bet you he wishes that he could line up with Baptiste constantly. I think that would be a lot of fun for him. We'll go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. Tennessee just absolutely takes Vanderbilt apart on a night where Vandy was smoking hot in the first half, Griff. What do you think the number was for Vandy when they had their three-point line? Because I've got it tracked for the blog tomorrow. I was looking at some halftime numbers and getting them in the blog for tomorrow. What do you think the number was for Vandy at the three-point line in terms of maids versus attempts from three-point land?
They probably made 8 of 14 the first half.
You are so great when you're watching games because they were 8 of 15 tonight.
Okay.
I mean, 8 of 15, and they were only up 10. They could have been killing us if they had anything going inside with 8 of 15 shooting from three-point land.
And that's what they averaged for the season. They've been averaging 8 makes. They knocked that down the first half.
Yep. But I knew they were in trouble when Williams went to the break and had 17 in the first half and came right back in the second half and tacked on to that plus as he finishes the game with 37 points. To the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on the Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Tone, Tacker, Spike.
Hey, Spikey, welcome in.
What's up, my man?
Hey, buddy.
That was a pretty damn good win there.
It's a great win. A great win.
I always enjoy getting to see the Tubbs at the end. See, icing on the cake when you get the Tubbs celebrating.
Brother, when they showed them spreading out during one of those TV timeouts, and you look back there, and Mr. Tubbs in all his glory was back there, and you could see the scales forming on his eyes. Like an old ram that he is, so next level.
You think Mrs. Tubbs is going to be catching a coach flight back?
No, I don't think they fly back from Nashville. Probably will take Megabus and she'll ride on top in the open air. If the way he's parsed out the seating arrangements is any indication, she will be up on the roof tonight or up there with Granny Clampett in that rocking chair.
Well, Tone, I'll tell you what. I went to I had a friend that bought something at an auction last week, and I was lucky enough to get to go. And it was a Friday night. I got to go to dinner with the team and then a film study before the Kentucky game. And sweet. Grant Williams, we walked in the door, me and the Stu Manitarian, it was actually the two of us. We walk in there, and first person just walks up to us, and he goes, hey man, how you doing? Grant Williams, nice to meet you. What's your name? And Grant starts talking to us. Really is, I mean, the guy, I love the way he plays, but, I mean, he's a more impressive young man. And he sat down, and, you know, every other player is in there goofing off, eating dinner, playing ping pong, watching, you know, playing video games, whatever. And Grant sits down and talks to us for about 30 minutes, talks to us about what we do for a living, you know, what he wants to do later in life, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, the guy is awesome.
That kid is a class act. He's a class act. That's what he is.
I mean, he's one of my all-time favorites after that, and especially after seeing the way he played tonight.
You know what was great about tonight, the way he played tonight? Was the way he was calling for the ball, Griff. Did you notice that, yes. Griff? I haven't seen him that demonstrative in the low post. He was like, I'm eating this cat alive. I mean, from the first TV timeout on, he was demanding the basketball.
And they got it to him, which is nice, too. I mean, it's not like they overlooked him. I mean, they did get the ball into him. And what I also liked, guys, was how many different moves Grant Williams displayed tonight when he was destroying Baptiste. I mean, it wasn't just like he was shooting a jump hook every time. I mean, he displayed 6 or 7 different moves inside.
It was like, I'm showing you my arsenal tonight. And you know what, Griff, do you take when you have lesser competition, and I'm not knocking that Baptiste guy, but he couldn't check Grant Williams in a million years. And Grant Williams goes against guys he can't check. So it all, you know, and that's the way any sport is. When you're playing against a guy like that, Griff, is that when you pull out the full arsenal? When you're like, okay, I'm going to try some things here. First of all, I'm hot. And now I'm going to try some things I've been working on in practice. Are you cognizant enough to do that?
You are cognizant enough to do that because you've got the confidence that you'll go to a play yep. that you normally wouldn't go to because you have a lesser opponent guarding you, or you're more hot on your end
yep.
where you're like, hey, I'm, you know, depending on where he's guarding me, I'm yep. going to try this particular move that I've been working on in practice, because it goes down to what you do in practice. You know, these guys don't come out here and just start throwing up stuff that they haven't worked on in practice, but he just goes deep in his arsenal because he's very self-confident and knowing who's going against you as well. So you're trying out new things to score the basket or get to the free throw line.
Anything else for us tonight, Tack Air Spike, and on this beautiful night?
Tone, the other thing is, you know, I sat in during that film study, and I love the fact that the first 20 minutes of the film study, Rick Barnes brought out an old film of an old NCAA championship game, and it was Maryland versus Indiana, and he just showed he showed every offense possession for Maryland, and they went inside almost every single play. And he just wanted to say after that Auburn game, he goes, we've got away from our identity in that game, and he goes, no matter what, we need to look to get the ball into the middle of the floor every single time. And they've been sticking with that philosophy ever since, and they've been playing great basketball, and they stuck with it in that Kentucky game. Even though they weren't winning after a half, they stayed with it and they came through with it, and I love that they're just sticking with what their coach is telling them.
Well, you know, that's a great point too about tonight's game, because a lot of times when an opponent starts banging away on you with three balls, if you're not a disciplined basketball team, Spike, and if you don't decide early on this is how we're gonna proceed tonight, you can get pulled into a game where you shoot 25 three balls yourself, Griff. I was really impressed that Tennessee didn't do that tonight.
Yeah, you're right.
You get blown out. You would have gotten blown out by Kentucky, too.
Yeah, you get killed. You'd have gotten killed by Kentucky. That's right.
But that's what's fun about watching this team is they take coaching well and they listen to what their coach says.
Yep. And they're fun to watch. Thank you, my man.
I love it. Have a good night.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, they might not be the most tremendously talented team in the world, but they really are a bunch of coachable kids. There's no question about that. But, Griff, if they would have gotten pulled into a three-point shooting contest tonight, they would have gotten blown out. And we've seen past Tennessee teams here that would have gotten pulled into that.
Yeah, you're right. And I only noticed one, maybe two quick shots on the three-point slot the whole evening. And Turner knocked down one. I think James Daniel missed his, but what we call early offense on a break, instead of getting into their full offense of making passes and cuts, is just jacking up the shot on the break. And they only took two that I counted the whole evening. So they were very, very, very much disciplined.
Back to our phones we go. Let's get our next call in on the Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime presented by my man Marcos Garza and your Garza Law Firm. And here's the deal. Whether it's DUI defense, criminal defense, or personal injury, which could mean anything from a car wreck to a motorcycle accident to a trucking accident to a wrongful death situation, medical malpractice, product liability, slip and fall cases, workers' compensation, issues with insurance companies, what have you, Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm are going to take tremendous care of you online at GarzaLaw.com. Again, GarzaLaw.com. On a night where Tennessee wasted very little on the offensive end, they surrendered 84 points to Vanderbilt, but it didn't matter because they rolled 92-84. In a night where Grant Williams went absolutely ballistico, 37 points. Schofield had 22. And, Griff, that plus-minus stat that I was giving you earlier, and I want you to think about this as the season goes along, and you tell me if you think it's worth looking at. Bowden tonight was third on Tennessee's basketball team. He had a plus-7. Fulkerson tonight, who did not play in the second half, coach's decision, finished the first half -8, and he is a team low tonight at -8. Walker a -3, Darrington a +3, Turner a -1, Bone a +5, Alexander, who got lost tonight, a -4. I think that's a pretty fair number, Griff. I think that's a number that kind of tells you what's going on in the game.
No, I actually like what you're sharing this evening about the plus minus. I've never followed that. I guess this is something newer that's coming out. I know that I mentioned this in the past. I've done a plus minus system as far as turnovers and offensive rebounds and charges, but not point differential turnover. So this is a new way to look at how someone's contributing when they're in the game. As far as the score. One thing that we talked about last game as well is Walker. If he's going to do anything this year, he's got to not turn the ball over. I don't know if he had a turnover or how he looked statistically tonight, but he looked lost while he was there. I know he probably played maybe 3 minutes, but I think coach was trying to give him a chance, and while he came in the game, just didn't provide anything. And then Fulkerson, I thought, struggled as well. Kyle Alexander was kind of a non-factor, but his presence was still felt defensively. Those are some of the big guys that were just not getting what we needed. But I told you today, too, I thought that Tennessee would go small against this Vanderbilt team and have a more athletic team. And looks like that's what's going to carry them forward is having four perimeter-type players, and Grant can step to the perimeter, but maybe three perimeter players in Grant, and then from there maybe have a big guy in, different times of the game.
One unofficial stat that Davis just gave us down in Nashville, and that's that the Tubbs tonight were plus 10 in the game as well, combined, plus 5 each. All right, Mrs. Tubbs might have been plus 6 and Mr. Tubbs plus 4, but at any rate, it all came out in the wash, and they ended up plus 10. The thing about Fulkerson, and I'm not going to belabor this point, but in the last couple of contests especially, when he's been in the game, they've gone right at him. I mean, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And I have a feeling he's going to end up in a lot of highlight videos, team highlight videos, Griff, before the season's over. And he's not going to be making a lot of them.
He was in one tonight because he got dunked on tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he got posterized tonight. We'll go back to the phones. Let's get our next call in. Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, as we're about to hit midnight. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. Mark, it's Don.
Hey, Donnie. Welcome in, buddy.
Hey, Don.
Hey, man, I tell you what. Kentucky and Vandy back-to-back wins. I mean, it's almost like the glory days again.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Taking those little punks over in Nashville woodshed is always a just something to top your night off and everything. Wasn't looking good in that first half. I went to take a shower at halftime. I was hoping to wash off all that ugliness, and well, I guess it did. Grant Williams, like you guys have been talking, just if he played against people closer to his size every night, he might average 37 points. It's just amazing.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine, like, if he would have gone and played? That's what my son was saying to me tonight. Could you imagine if he'd have gone and played in the Ivy League like he was going to?
Yeah.
He would be, Griff, how monstrous would he be at that level?
I wouldn't believe, he can't stop him now, for the most part, so he'd be unstoppable.
It would have been crazy train. Him in the Ivy League would have been just crazy train trying to contend with him, Don.
Yeah, and can you imagine if he was in one of those Ivy League teams that makes the tourney? And they go in there in the first round and grab one of these big dogs.
Oh, no doubt.
Never played against him.
No doubt. I mean, because you don't get a scout on that guy. That's the type of thing that happens in March, too. You see kids like him, and it's hell on wheels, man, trying to contend with him.
I tell you what, I've never seen anybody that, and the TV commentators and the halftime guys, too, he does weird things to get people out of position. He goes up them, around them, and underhand them. You think he has no shot whatsoever, and somehow he gets around them enough to toss that ball up to the goal. I've never seen nothing quite like him, and I've watched a lot of basketball in my lifetime. But, boy, it's just great, I mean, it's just good feeling.
Good for the soul, Don. Why not good for the soul? Beating them guys like that.
We kind of coughed up a couple games we should have. We'd really be streaking right now.
That's okay.
That's the way it goes. But it as great as it was, it's especially what you were talking about, the way Kentucky stole one night, just to come back on those idiots the other night makes that more special. And maybe our problem was early in the year when we weren't closing out games is because we were leading in halftime. Last two games, we've been down 8 points, 10 points, and then just come back and win, but come back and just blow them out in the second half. Maybe we need to be behind.
Don, I you know what? It's kind of hard to argue with that. I mean, and here's the other thing. They, tonight, something about the way Barnes got their attention tonight. I agree with Griff, or one of the callers who called and said that there was no doubt that when Bowden came out in the second half, there is no doubt that a fire was lit under him. Absolute fire.
Yeah, I tell you, it's they're just fun to watch.
You'll
see how far they go, but they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you know, it might be Bowden, it might be Daniel, it might be whoever.
Yep.
Be that third scorer that does something. What about our Nashville boy there with that Stone Cold three right there to stretch that lead to 10 late in the game?
That was brutal. I mean, that was a big shot too, Griff, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, great timing and great shot. A lot of confidence. Straight shot, though. It's interesting. He didn't have a lot of loft on his shot.
No.
It just seemed to go straight towards the basket. But it went in, so, you know, I mean, hey, more power to him. But, you know, he's got to work on the loft to make sure it's a smoother shot. But, you know, you can't have line drive jump shots from three. But it went in, so you're right. It was, Don, it was a great timing for that shot to go up by 10. And it felt to me they needed to go up by 10 because you knew that Vanderbilt was going to make a run the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, guys, before I get off, I know it's basketball, but I might not be able to get in on the day show. Thought I'd drop a little interesting nugget that fell in my lap today. It turns out that Alabama quarterback from Hawaii, Tua, whatever, he's got a first cousin that goes to Quay High School, and is my grandson, one of his best friends.
Wow, small world.
I
bet that kid. I bet his cousin's a good kid too, because that seems like a solid family.
Great kid. They've got four kids. The mother's the one that's from the islands. They've got four kids, and they are all super, super kids. Very athletic. In fact, their last name is Stakely. That's dad's name, and the son that played football this year, the one I'm talking about, he won a lot of regional stuff, players of the week. He's a good kid. The whole family's a good kid.
So, Don, mucho gracias. Thank you.
All right, buddy. See.
Don dropped some serious knowledge on us. Griff, some of these newfangled stats that we're going to start seeing now is we're going to have more analytics in basketball, whether you like it or not. And plus minus is one of them. Another one is turnover percentage. Tennessee on possessions, 11.9%. Tennessee's tonight, points per possession, Griff, 1.373 points per possession. And their average time of possession per possession tonight was 16 seconds. They scored 40 times on 67 possessions. We're breaking basketball games like this now, Griff. You like it?
I don't mind it because I think it tells you a lot about your team's performance and individuals' performance. And I know coaches, you know, love it in the halftime to go through stats. First thing you ask for when you get together is, give me the halftime stat sheet, because you cull through those stats to see where you're doing well and where you're not doing well and where you can make adjustments where need be. So I think it's going to come into play more and more in the future. So we just got to accept it and use it to their advantage.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, it's Fake Buzz.
Hey, Fake Buzz, welcome in.
How's it going? God, great win. That was incredible.
That was an amazing win, man. That's the kind you buy in a secondhand store, brother. I loved it.
In the tub and camera view, I mean, you just can't beat that. I mean, that's a cherry on top.
I mean, that's what makes the world go around the Tubbs, isn't it?
Oh, come on, man. I mean, they're such an important part of this era. Look, if you think about all the torture that's gone on at Tennessee in the last 10 years, they've been at just about every one of the sporting events, if not every one of them.
Tony, I went to the Alabama football game this year, and I told you this earlier.
Yes.
There were two rows in front of me. I mean, they made my day.
Say?
I mean, they are the most, they're the most incredible fans I've ever seen in my life.
And they're beautiful people. And one of our necks named Jeeker walked up to them last year and said, "Hi, Mr. Tubbs," to him. Now, that's terrible. And that poor guy said, "That's not my name." And I wish he would have punched Jeeker right in his fat face.
But all seriousness, Tony, I think this team is talented, and I think we do have the pieces. Unless we run into some matchup problem, which could happen in March. But really, I mean, I think Barnes has really set the foundation for this program. And I think the recruits will start coming in now that, you know, he's showing signs of kind of building something here and, you know, showing the ability that he can coach. And it's kind of weird because at Texas, it was kind of the opposite thing.
Good point.
They're like, I don't know if this Barnes guy is a good X and O's coach, but he's a good recruiter. And now that he's at Tennessee, he's a great X and O's coach, but he hasn't got any recruits. But at the same time, I think that the people that he's got are fitting his system. And, you know, you're talking about having men on the team. Well, I mean, if Admiral's not a man and Grant Williams is not a man, I mean, I don't know what it is, because those two could take about any.
No doubt. Now he did inherit Admiral Schofield. That's a Tyndall guy. But your point
know,
is well taken.
Know,
but
I
your
know.
your point here is well taken. I was expecting the Barnes of Texas, and that's what set me off so profusely. But that's quality basketball Tennessee played tonight.
Yeah,
and I would be foolish to suggest otherwise. In fact, he's coached, and his staff, they have coached the fire out of these guys since he's been here.
But I do think they're talented. Like, Bone is talented.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's a special player.
No. Jalen Brunson at Villanova is a special player. Bone is a college guard.
Yeah, but Bone is, he's only a sophomore.
Bone's a college player. He gets blown by on defense. Griff, talk to me.
But that's okay. I mean,
it's not okay. No, you want to play in March. No, that guy right there.
Him as a special player.
No,
I think he's a good
role player. Yeah, he's a good role player.
College player.
Nice, solid player.
I think we can disagree on that, because I think he is a special player, because I think he'll turn into a special player. He's got a special talent with the ball. I mean, he moves so fast, and he can shoot. I mean, he made a couple huge threes tonight that were key for our win.
He did, and I like that he's one of your favorite players. The thing about him, though, is that he defensively falls asleep. And my wife played basketball, and she watches him, and she loves guards, you know, because that's kind of what she did. And her take on Bone, and it's pretty good one, Griff, and I want your thoughts on this. She said, he'll get you to, and then he'll give you up to. He'll get you to, and he kind of falls asleep on defense. And you just, you know, you're in the middle of your sophomore season, and you're not going to stay on the floor consistently with Rick Barnes doing that. You're just not. Because he's not going to put up with it.
Especially backdoor cuts.
No, right.
I mean, I understand he's a very good scorer.
Yeah, he's a nice player offensively.
And he knows what to do. He knows when to take shots, and he knows when to, you know, pass it. And I think, you know, as he matures, I think he could be, you know, very, very, very good. And I think this team is still young.
Yep.
And I think that they have a very nice kind of chemistry to this team, and they fight for each other, you know. And
I agree with
that. That will take you a long way in March.
I agree with that. The thing this team has to do, though, is They have to avoid the pitfalls of this season, because I'm going to tell you something about this year, and this is the truth. Vanderbilt's one of the worst teams in the league this year, and they were losing by 10 at halftime to these guys. There are no nights off in this league this year. None.
But that's the thing. They didn't lay down. They came back.
Well, I know that. Yeah. Phase. I'm just saying there are no scrubs in this league right now.
I mean, we're down by Kentucky at 8 by half. I mean,
yes.
It's just how it is. I mean, it's going to be tough.
I like it. I like it. It's fun. Lenardi in his latest, how many teams do you guys think Lenardi, and Griff, I'll ask you this. I want you to guess at this. Just off top of your head, how many SEC teams, Lenardi released it during the game tonight. How many teams? 9.
Wow.
He has 9 teams in. This thing here is going to be like Tennessee fighting for football recruits. It's going to be like a freaking street fight before his thing's over.
I think Tennessee will get in pretty easily, though. I don't think it'll be a...
Oh, obviously. Tennessee right now, KenPom has them as a top team in the league, and they're a 5-seed according to Lenardi right now because of what they did non-conference.
Yeah, I mean, because you can have room now. I mean, it was just like last year. I mean, last year we had batted, a great non-conference schedule, and we were right there on the bubble pretty much the whole time because the bubble was so soft.
Yeah, this is fun, man. This is going to be fun.
And that's the thing about Barnes, too, is he is a little bit regal, so he can get some of these games.
He gets all the calls, man. That cat gets all the calls. I've never seen a Tennessee coach in any sport get more calls than Rick Barnes does. And people still bitch about officiating here, which is incredible to me, because he gets just about every call he wants to get in a basketball game. And I love it, because he wears officials out.
But, too, another thing, too, is when he schedules, he can get big-time opponents in here at TBA, which is not...
No question.
I don't think Pearl could do that sometimes, but I don't think the past two guys, Donnie or Zoe, could have done that.
No, God, no. But Pearl... see, here's the thing about Pearl, though. Pearl had a smart way about scheduling, because they would find great mid-major teams, like a couple of those Louisiana teams. Tony Jones was really good about knowing the landscape and finding teams that were making the NCAA tournament, and they would play them, and at the end of the year, their RPI would jump, and they were good at that. They were really good at that.
He would play Chattanooga when they were
smart. Oakland's another example.
Oh, yeah, Greg Campy in Oakland, and then they always play Butler,
those types of teams, yeah. And before Butler had their ascent, they would, jump in there and play those guys. Hey, I appreciate the call. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
It's 13 past midnight, and we're still talking here in the Eastern Time Zone. Griff, you have to go to bed?
Yes.
At what point? Talk to me.
Soon. I get up at 5.
Well, Griff, get out of here.
All right, man.
Give me a final thought on the way out, man. Love you.
Oh, it's always exciting to see the Vols win, and it's extra exciting to see it happen in Memorial Magic. So I'm really pleased that they can win in my backyard in Music City.
Yes.
Looking forward to the matchup with Texas A&M. I will have your three-pointers for you by Friday, and we'll see if they can progress and get a nice victory at home with a great crowd in attendance Saturday night.
You're damn straight, Griff. I love you, man.
Love you too, bro. Thanks for having
me. You're my guy. You're plus minus when I was about plus 40 on this show. I'm about a minus 10. Let's go back to our phones. I'm going to stay on with you for about 10 more minutes because I get some sleep myself, if that's okay with you. 865-200-5402. Plus, I've got to work on my blog. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony B? This is Judd up in Jeff County.
Judd in Jeff County, it's an absolute honor, privilege, and pleasure to talk with you, sir. Welcome in.
It's my honor, Tony B. Thanks for being on. Hey, I called in specifically because you're talking stats, and I'm such an absolute degenerate when it comes to basketball. That's all I watch is stats. me and my buddies. This started back in the Buzz Peterson days. And one official started the whole process, John Clocker. Do you remember that moron?
Of course. That's the guy that my man, John Ward, used to rip him. Rip him.
Well, we started. So here's what me and my buddies did. We had season tickets, and one of my buddies landed some season tickets for floor seats.
Mm-hmm.
We started recording on our own little sheet,
mm-hmm.
all three officials, And every single time they blew the whistle, whether it was for or against Tennessee. Now, this includes not only fouls, this includes out-of-bounds plays, everything. So, you know, obviously some of it's legit, some of it's judgment call, like fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And we started keeping track because we were like, does our perception meet reality? What do the stats prove? Because, you know, you don't ever want to be like a, who is it, Jeeker or Sweetwater Don, as it's always
called. Sweetwater Don hates every official, even in the Rick Barnes era where, let me ask you this, in the Rick Barnes era, we're getting some calls, aren't we? Or am I imagining that?
No, you are not joking. I'm such a degenerate. I still keep track of this stuff.
Can you email me that as you go? Because I would love to put that stuff in my blog. I love stuff like that, but go ahead.
Well, let me give you an example tonight. So it was brought up before, and here's what we learned. This is what we learned over time. Me and my buddies, we figured it should be, if you're fair, your whistle should be 50-50.
Yep.
Well, we found out that's not true. Because they rotate after every whistle, you just may be in a position to call an out-of-bounds play because you saw it. It's a legit call.
Mm-hmm.
And so we gave them a 10-point swing. So a fair official should be somewhere between 40 and 60%. And that was our own little divvying up. Well, we figured if you're over 60%, you're biased. If you're over 70%, you're on the take. Well, during Bruce Pearl's tenure, I have never seen so many officials that were in the 80s. Like Mike and Tom E., those two were right around 90. I mean, how many times they blew their whistle, it was against a Bruce Pearl coach team. It was absurd, and I'm thinking, because I...
You are a total degenerate.
I'm telling you, I am. And I even, it was so bad, I approached Tony Jones, and he probably still has the email if you'll ask him when you call him.
I guarantee he loved it.
I was giving him the numbers, and I'm like, you guys have got to do something about this because it's obvious the fix is in because Mike and Tom E. destroyed Bruce Pearl coach team.
Wow.
Well, now fast forward, we get to so far during the Barnes era, Mike and Tom Eves are still bad. I mean, they have a bias towards Tennessee like no other officials. I don't know what it is. I don't know their history, but it's terrible. Another official that despised Pearl that was in the 80s, every single time, 80% of his whistles went contrary to a Pearl coach team, is now around 50 with Rick Barnes, and that's Carl Hess, who was calling the game tonight. So Carl Hess obviously had a bias towards Pearl, but not towards Barnes. He's just a sorry official. He's fair. He's just not good at his job. But another one that's terrible against Tennessee still is Jamie Lucky. And I swear that guy has called more games this year. And 70% of his calls, 70% of his whistles. Now, given some of them are legitimate calls, like Alexander knocked the ball out of bounds tonight, Jamie Lucky was there, he blew the whistle, he made the call. So some of his calls are legit. But once you get up in that 70% range, you've got a bias.
Will you send me that stuff? I want you to send me that stuff because I would love to put it out there. And then I'll have you on. Send me your number. And let's feed your full-blown degenerate nature, and we'll get you on the air.
Well, then I'll publicly acknowledge that I'm a degenerate.
We will make a fake name. You can be like Y. I got an X already. You can be Y.
Oh, there ain't nothing about me that's fake, Tony. I'm as out there gets.
Beautiful.
But the other thing I was going to comment on is the advanced statistics. Because those 100% of advanced statistics originate in places like Las Vegas.
Yes.
So the plus minus, that actually originated on the individual player 20 years ago for the game of soccer. And these people were carrying statistics like baseball players. But that'd be like 385, 400, something of that nature because the scoring is so low.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they found out about 10 years later they dropped it because the individual plus minus does not correlate to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the current statistic that Vegas is using that hasn't made its way into mainstream population yet is like for basketball, the five player currently on the court plus minus.
So it's what group of people do you have playing right now when they are together? What is their plus minus? That's how you get, because it started with, so if you've got, like basketball players, if you've got five guys, who has the best plus minus on the team, put those five guys on the floor at the same time and you'll win. But they kept noticing that doesn't correlate because the positions are all over the map. So you may have a center that's off the charts, and then your next three, four best guys are all guards. They're like, well, that's not a good rotation. We can't compete if we play that rotation.
You know, plus minus is also a hockey stat, and I think it's a great stat. I think it works. It works in basketball. It makes sense to me. And it makes sense to me that it makes sense to me tonight that Fulkerson had the lowest plus minus on the team, because that's what I saw to my naked eye. And it also makes sense that Alexander would have been second in the bad plus minus tonight.
Yeah, that does. But when you get to Vegas odds, the advanced statistic now is what five players. So Fulkerson might have a bad plus minus overall. And when he's on the floor, the five people on the floor at the current time. So you may have your rotations. You may have 30 different combinations in the game tonight.
Do you have that? Do you have the combinations? Do you guys keep that?
No, I don't. That's a gambling stat. Vegas hires people
to track it.
To keep that stat.
Yep.
And Rick Barnes would have to hire 10 guys to keep that stat.
I bet you Nick Saban has them. You know why? Because it's all about world domination. Hey, listen, man, great call from you. Will you please email me?
Sure, I'll do it.
Thank you. Send me that stuff. I want to see it, and I'll publish it. Yeah, thanks, man. I'm honored that guy's in this audience. Wow. That guy is a smart dude. Yeah, and would you please come and draft my fantasy baseball team in 2 months for me? And let's beat Bino's beady little eyes shut. What you say? Let's go back to our phones. Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hey, Tony, baby love.
Hey, lovey. Welcome in.
Wow. So, real quick, I actually went to the game tonight.
Wow. How fun.
It was fun. Just drove over and got to head to West Tennessee for work and figured I'd catch the game on the way over, late game. So left Nashville, whatever. It was a lot of fun. And to comment on a couple of things I've heard, it was a game where they shot lights out early. Mm-hmm. They did eight first half threes, and you could have been buried, but we did stick to our game plan. We kept pounding it inside. Eventually they cooled off and we kind of controlled them in the second half. It was a lot of fun, but I kind of thought I was a sick fan, Tony. I mean, I drive over to a basketball game on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, and this guy's keeping ref stats for 20 years since the Buzz era. So, makes me feel better about my sick fandom.
Yeah, I mean, this cat, and he's keeping a vigil for Tennessee basketball, which about gives you nothing in return. So, more power to that cat.
I mean, it's good to know, but geez.
I love it. Anybody rips referees like that is my guy.
The guy he was talking about tonight called the game. To confirm what he said, maybe not liking Pearl's staff, who he was 80-20 against Pearl and 50-50 against Barnes. I can't remember the guy's name, but he ref
Jamie Lucky.
Yeah, the other guy. He was doing the game tonight.
Jamie Lucky was doing the game tonight, wasn't he? Yes.
Yeah, well. So he's
looks like Ron Mitchell. It's like my friend Ron Mitchell.
Doing the Southern Conference championship game 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. With Forbes, his first year up at ETSU.
Oh, Carl Hess. I'm sorry, Carl Hess. I don't pay attention. Go ahead. My bad.
Yeah, Hess is doing the Southern Conference championship game, ETSU Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Forbes wins it last year. Critical point in the game. I thought it was a clean block by Cromer. It was right in front of me. Hess calls a foul on a three. 30 seconds to go. I mean, this is to go to the big dance. Hess calls the foul. Forbes jumps him. He tees Forbes up. He essentially ends the game. Puts Chattanooga into the championship, into the big dance. Not that it could have been a foul, but that just might – I remember that vividly, thinking, this guy just literally put Chattanooga in the tournament. I mean,
Forbes – And that was 2 years ago, right? That was two years ago, yeah.
First year, I'm thinking, how do you make a call? Like, how do you tee a guy up right there?
And clearly he's known Forbes for years.
Right.
So my point is maybe he didn't like those guys. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't think these guys.
That's pretty interesting. And those guys are human.
Some people don't like people.
Yep. And those guys, like no them. Question. Hey, I got a lot of callers I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to deal with people you don't like.
Sure. It's life.
I got a lot of callers don't like me.
No, a lot of people. Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't like me. How about you?
Sure. I like you, Tony. You know that. But the point is, we're the thing tonight was fun. Grant goes on the road and puts up 37.
Yes.
In Memorial. Okay. And this is what's fun to me about sports. He puts up 37 on a night where he doesn't, I don't think he dunked the ball. Okay.
No, he did not.
He dominates the guy all night long. Doesn't dunk the ball. Just move after move after move. Just pounding inside, getting the fouls, making free throws. It reminded me of Lofton. I don't think Lofton ever dunked. So, I mean, you're talking about some of the better performances. 37 on the road in the SEC.
That's the best performance.
You don't even play above the rim.
How about this? That's the best performance.
Where people, when we look at dunk contests, and what guys do. You don't have to be that kind of player to be a good basketball player.
According to the great Matt Dixon, who's Matt Stat. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Most points for a Vol in an SEC game since Allen Houston jacked 43 up on LSU in 90.
Wow.
That was the Chris Jackson game. That is what Williams did tonight by netting 37 points on the road. That's a historic night for that kid. They'll be talking about that 30 years from now, the night Williams went down to the Memorial and gave them some magic.
And he missed the layup right before the ball went out of bounds. He could have gotten 40 easily. Easily. He missed one or two in the bucket, but he obviously made 20. But just I love when a guy's, you know, he's 6'6", and he's –
Call it for the ball, man. He's balling that kid. He's balling Baptiste into the ground.
I love it. I mean, that's just what's fun about sports. It's like when a guy that – it's like when the Altuve guy for Houston, 5'7", he's the best player in baseball. I mean, it's not about how
– I love that. That's a great point. Or like when a guy like Doug Flutie can play. Or a guy like Drew Brees when they can play. I agree with that.
It's fun. I mean,
we don't measure heart, man. We don't measure heart at combines. We don't measure heart.
You just watch him do – if you'd never gone to a game and you watch starting lineups come out, you're thinking this number two's their post player? He's in big trouble. He just killed everybody.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. That's exactly right. I love guys that look like world beaters and can't play. We used to have some guys like that. We had a guy named Michael Curry that played here one time.
I remember that guy.
That guy's
– big gold chain, too.
His arms were ginormous.
Yeah.
He got on the field – got on the court and could not scratch his nuts. I mean, he couldn't play. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Just fun. That's just a fun thing about.
And it's very fun. Love you, brother. It's a thing that would drive me crazy about recruiting because I would go out and fall in love with guys. Man, look at that guy. I love him. You know? And I guess you cannot. You have to overlook the physical temptation of falling in love with people. Hey, listen, I appreciate you being with us tonight. I appreciate you spreading the word and helping us grow. I appreciate our T-Club members who provided this for you tonight as a service because they choose to participate with me on a monthly basis. And if you'd like to do that, please go to TonyBasilio.com. If you'd like to leave a tip for us, it's past 12:30. And I'm going to get up here in a few hours and do my thing. I've got a full work day ahead of me tomorrow, including a show at Copper Cellar down on Cumberland Avenue. So any of that would be greatly appreciated. If you're making your way back tonight from the game, what I'm going to attempt to do is get this show uploaded ASAP for you. Go into the archives. You'll be able to find it. And you'll be able to listen if you missed any of our early portions. And I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for being you. And thank you for your time this evening. I hope you have a great night. And, boy, that was a great win by our guys. 92-84 Tennessee wins on the road, trailing 10 at the half. Do not quit. Do not put their heads down. Stay with the plan. As you heard Tack Air Spike tell you earlier, stay with the plan. Stay with the plan. I really think good things are coming. I just think I just think good things are coming with this Pruitt guy. And I think that the darkness is broken through the clouds. We're going to have some fun here. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. And Vandy Joe, I'm keeping a line open for you tomorrow, brah. Some of my other Vandy fans. And also, some of my troubled Kentucky knuckle-dragging, losing, loser friends like Clay Seegers. You know what's funny? I didn't hear from them tonight. I didn't get a text from them tonight. Could it be that you got beat down in Thompson Bowling Saturday? Could that be what it is? Or could it be that y'all saw what I saw tonight, which is I've predicted 8 to 10 losses in the league for you guys this year, and I'm staying with that. And I'm counting one tonight as a loss. That A&M game was a loss. So you have 2 losses now in the league. I don't count that as a win. You guys are not good. And I got to tell you this. I'm going to enjoy this season. I've kind of decided that I'm going to enjoy this season. And if you're a Volcat, I want to say to you, we don't want you. Choose one or choose the other. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. You step across it. And you declare what you are. Okay? If you're a Volcat. You tell me what you are. Okay? We don't get to pick and choose. You know, I'm not one. Look, I'm a Philadelphia sports fan. I'm a 4-for-4 Philadelphia sports fan. I'm a Vol fan. I'm a 2-for-2 Vol fan. And any other team that puts on a uniform. Pick a damn team. In the meantime, I love you. Hope you have a great night. Go Vols. Beautiful.